Life is full of lots of strange and unexpected lessons. When I was on internship, I'd just gotten to my internship location. I was going to be there for a year, serving at Zion Lutheran Church in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. And as the new intern, it behooved me to make an impression. I needed them not just to like me, I needed them to like me well enough to pass me, because it was for a grade. So I had to do well in order that I got to go on in seminary. One of the folks that was in charge of evaluating my progress was the minister of music and worship at Zion Lutheran Church. And so I'd been there for about a week or two, and he said to me, "We're going to cook out cheeseburgers. We'd love for you to come to dinner." Now, that's not an offer you can turn down. So, not that I would, because cheeseburgers are awesome, and who doesn't like a good cheeseburger? So I said, "Well, sure, yes, we'd love to come over." And so my poor dear wife and I, we come over to his house. And we're having a great time getting to know him. He has probably the single most complicated and high-tech audio systems I've ever seen before in my life. He has a room in his house dedicated just to his stereo system and his speakers. It was acoustically perfect, designed so that when you were listening to a good recording, you could actually place where all the different musicians had been in the studio if you listened carefully. It was just a work of art. Very detailed, very impressive. So we adjourned from the music room, and he went out on the deck, and we talked while he grilled us cheeseburgers. Now, when I make cheeseburgers, and my wife will tell you this is true, she keeps trying to rein me in, I am a little generous with the ground beef. I feel like a good homemade cheeseburger should probably be the meal unto itself. You can have sides, but you really aren't going to need them if you get a cheeseburger from me. I'm going to take care of you. And I like to get mine just the slightest bit pink in the middle. Not like red, but just the slightest bit pink. Just, you know, I know the FDA would like me to have my hamburger cooked all the way through and dried out and miserable, but the FDA just doesn't like good food. So that's how I do my cheeseburgers. So my wife and I, we get our cheeseburgers, and we both bite into our cheeseburgers, and they're not a little pink in the middle. They are absolutely red. From the first fraction of an inch on either side all the way through, they are utterly and completely in the land of uncooked. So now what do I do? Again, this man is in charge of my grade. My grade determines whether or not I pass internship. Internship determines whether or not I stay at seminary. Now, I'm not going to say that he was a cruel or unusually vindictive person. He was a sweetheart of a guy, but I barely knew him. So I didn't feel like I could critique his cooking and say, "Would you mind putting this back on the grill until it stops mooing?" So I did the only logical thing a human being in my situation could do. I ate the raw hamburger. And about an hour or two later, I had the worst case of food poisoning that I have ever had in my life. One of those cases of food poisoning where you're halfway through and you just look to the sky and say, "Don't heal me, just take me now, Jesus." And I, of course, never told him, "Oh, by the way, you poisoned me, and I just about died. Cook your cheeseburgers a little more thoroughly through in the future." No. I never once said to him, "Hey, you just about killed me," because I didn't want it to reflect negatively on my grades. As human beings, we will do quite a lot to avoid being rude. We don't like to offend people. We don't like to feel as though we have made people unhappy or that they think that we're unhappy with them. So we will go to great and exceptional lengths to avoid hurting people's feelings or offending them, especially if something valuable is on the line. In my case, I ate a large hamburger full of raw hamburger meat and suffered a lot for a good 24 hours. I did, by the way, pass my internship, so I guess it worked out okay. But humans will go out of their way to avoid embarrassing ourselves, to avoid being rude, to avoid in any way, shape, or form offending the people around us. Now, we all know that one person out there who's decided that the proper way of dealing with this is just to go the opposite direction. We all know that there's occasionally people in the world whose response would be to say, hey man, this cheeseburger is awful, it's raw, fix it, and would never have given it a second thought. That's not most of us though, right? That's not most of us. Jesus is at a dinner party. An important dinner party. He's there with people from the leadership of the church, of the Jewish church at least, and he's watching them. And he's watching how they are going out of their way to figure out among themselves where they're supposed to sit. And we all know there are good chairs and there are bad chairs. You know, I remember being a kid and graduating from the piano bench at my grandmother's house. Because after church on Sunday, we all go over to my grandmother's house and we'd have dinner. And I remember having to sit on the piano bench with my cousin for years because you didn't get the good seat when you were a kid. You got the piano bench, which wobbled, and you had to sit side by side. And you bumped your elbows with each other the whole time. And I remember graduating up to a full-scale chair. And this is pretty nice, you know? So this is what the guests are doing. They're figuring out who's stuck on the piano bench. They're figuring out who gets the good chair, who gets the bad chair, who gets the chair that has the arms. But more importantly, they're figuring out who gets to sit close to their host, because it's the proximity to the host that determines how important you are. So if the host says, sit next to me at the dinner party, that means they want to chat with you. That means they want you to be their company. And everybody's figuring out where you sit. Well, I think I can sit here, you should sit there. Don't sit here, we should sit there. Oh, I don't know, maybe I can try to sit here. And because then you don't know, maybe somebody's gonna say, hey man, back to the piano bench, you have not graduated to the full-scale chair yet. Jesus is watching all of this happening, watching them jockey back and forth, figure out which is the right spot, which is the wrong spot. More importantly, they're trying to figure out what's the best seat they can claim. Maybe they're not like best buddies with the host, and they can't claim the seat to the right or the left of the host. But maybe they're hoping to be like across the table, catty corner to the host. Then maybe they can get an opportunity to jump in on some conversation. Jesus is watching all this. And then he says, crazy thought. I'm watching you guys trying to figure out where you belong. Trying to figure out how high you can go. Trying to figure out what's the best seat. What if you did it backwards? What if instead of figuring out how high you can go, what if you intentionally just chose to go as low as you could go? What if you just said, you know what? I'm taking the piano bench. And, you know, the cousin can sit with me on the piano bench. We'll just bump elbows the whole time. No big deal. And waited for the host to say, why are you sitting on the piano bench? Come sit next to me. Because then wouldn't it be better? Then everybody could say, hey, look, this guy, he got picked. He got chosen. He got called up to the big leagues. He got a chair with arms. Oh, my goodness. He's definitely up there in the world. Jesus didn't make this up. This isn't his off-the-cuff comment. As we just heard from the book of Proverbs, this has been something that's been a common piece of wisdom among God's people from the beginning. God's people have always known that the most proper way to figure out who ought to be first is just to let your host do the picking. And when it comes to being in God's kingdom, when it comes to being a part of God's kingdom, Jesus says, I really want you to understand that in the end, It doesn't matter where you want to put yourself. It doesn't matter how high you want to put yourself. Your host is going to determine where you belong. Now, as human beings, I know that we like to compare ourselves to each other. By the way, have you ever heard the phrase that the comparison is the birth of death? Comparison is the birth of death. Because as soon as we as human beings start comparing ourselves to each other, it's going to rob us of all of our joy. It's going to take away from us what makes us uniquely us. Because we're not going to value that thing in comparison. We're always going to pick somebody else to value more than ourselves. Or we start exalting ourselves. We start looking at ourselves and comparing ourselves to others and patting ourselves on the back because we don't want to feel like we're the least. And as human beings, we're always going to try to make that comparison. I'm better than them. They might be better than me, but I'm definitely better than that person over there. And Jesus says, you know, as humans, maybe instead the better place to be would be to simply sit at the end of the table and say, I'm not better than anyone. I am just here, and I am just me, and I have no claim to being the best of anything. And then wait and see what your host says. See, Jesus says this to them, not because he wants to teach them a lesson about manners and about figuring out how to get your way in social situations and settings. He says this to them knowing that he is going to go to the cross. He says this knowing that he is going to suffer death and resurrection for each and every person. He knows this is going to be a situation in which he calls all of us to come and sit next to him. That he has chosen to choose each and every one of us to share in his life, his death, and his resurrection. That in the end, the people who get to sit on his left and his right when he comes into his glory are a pair of criminals hung on crosses. That it doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how awesome and amazing you are, how much better that you've done with your life than your neighbor. That in the end, what matters, the only thing that matters, is that Christ died for your sins on the cross. See, that's the incredible thing about God's table. There's not a bad seat. There's not a piano bench. There's not a kid's table. That's the incredible thing about God's table is that we have all been invited to share uniquely and completely in it. No matter how good we are, how bad we are, how wise we are, how foolish we are, how well we've lived our lives, or how much we've just completely screwed everything up, every last one of us have been invited to sit at God's table where there's no bad seats and to share in the attention of God the Father Almighty, who loves us, calls us, forgives us, and renews us. See, Jesus watches this crazy dance that they're doing at the dinner table. And he says to himself, if only these people knew that their master in heaven is ready to come down and invite them to come sit next to him. And that there's nothing they can do to earn their place at the table and nothing they can do to exempt themselves or lose their place at the table, but that Christ will come to offer to them all a new life, a new place, and a new hope. Amen.